What we're going to do now is to have two more presentations, possibly a third one. The first presentation is from WIPO and then Demand Media. The third presentation is from Paul Keating, who has submitted comments, submitted a proposal, and he's brought along a few slides today, so we thought it would be appropriate to put them up because he's probably going to have a pretty different view from most of the views you've heard so far. So in a moment, Unju is going to run through WIPO's perspective on this, then Richard Tindall, then Paul Keating, then it's going to be your time. So you've got a bit longer sitting down and listening, and then we hope you'll participate. Thank you, Unju.
Thank you, Nick. What do I have to do? A very brief introduction on the World Intellectual Property Organization. WIPO is an intergovernmental organization with 184 member states, so member countries, meaning almost all the countries in the world are members of WIPO. And it is mandated to promote a balanced and accessible intellectual property system. As part of its work mandate, which is determined by its 184 member states, WIPO has been addressing intellectual property questions raised by the domain name system since 1998. WIPO undertook the first and second WIPO Internet Domain Name process to develop recommendations addressing the interface between intellectual property system and the domain name system. And the final report of the first WIPO Internet Domain Name process led to ICANN's adoption of the UDRP. WIPO's General Assembly, meaning the 184 member states, adopted in 2001 the joint recommendation concerning provisions on the protection of marks and other industrial property rights in signs on the internet. This joint recommendation does not have a binding effect. However, it serves as a soft law and indicates the consensus position adopted by its member states. And the recommendations made in this joint recommendation were taken into account in developing the substantive criteria adopted in the first and second ICANN draft applicant guidebook for the legal rights-based objection procedure. I think it is useful to clarify that WIPO is not a member of ICANN's implementation recommendation team, and therefore the recommendations, WIPO's recommendations that I'll be sharing with you this morning are separate and independent from the IRT's recommendations. Most of you will know that WIPO, through its Arbitration and Mediation Center, is an ICANN-accredited UDRP dispute resolution service provider. So in addition to the policy-making, policy development work that the organization has been involved in, the WIPO Arbitration and Mediation Center has, in the last 10 years or so, administered over 15,000 UDRP cases. It has also been involved in developing and administering registry-specific policies, and also provides dispute resolution services to some 58 CCTLDs. And therefore, it is with this background that we have come forth with certain recommendations in relation to ICANN's new GTLD program. This slide shows the UDRP caseload over the last 10 years, covering virtually all sectors, commercial, non-commercial. The IRT very aptly explained that what we're discussing this morning is not only about protecting the rights of trademark owners. Trademark protection is not only about the protection of the brand owners, but it is as much about protecting the general public, the consumers, and I thought it would be useful to illustrate through some decisions rendered by WIPO UDRP panelists through the 15,000 or so cases that illustrate this very clearly. You see that these are excerpts from WIPO UDRP decisions, and panelists are finding that cyber squatter names are being used to sell counterfeit products and placebo products, pharmaceutical products, to deceive consumers with its counterfeit products that are potentially harmful to consumers' health and that are illegal and potentially dangerous. So this is much more than protecting a certain pharmaceutical company. This is as much about protecting the general public. I landed in London yesterday afternoon, and cover story in many of its newspapers were the unfortunate passing away of a young child through swine flu. And you see that cyber squatters are using such incidents, such public scare health issues, to monetize and to make profit. I randomly chose a well-known medical product, Tamiflu in this case, and on the WIPO's website, there is a search function. You can type in any text, and it will give you all the UDRP cases that involved disputed domain names with that text. So I typed in Tamiflu, and I got close to 80 UDRP cases involving disputed domain names with a Tamiflu string, and this basically represents the pharmaceutical company having to file 80 or so individual UDRP cases with the corresponding UDRP filing fee, attorney costs, etc. So it is our view that this new development envisaged by ICANN to expand the DNS represents a watershed moment in the DNS, and that adequate safeguards have to be put into place to protect trademarks. And it is in such spirit that WIPO has been making certain proposals and recommendations over the last 18 months or so. They can be summarized into four different recommendations. The trademark-based pre-delegation dispute resolution procedure for new GTLD registries. This would be the legal rights objection procedure as currently included in ICANN's draft applicant guidebook. The trademark-based post-delegation dispute resolution procedure for new GTLD registries and registrars, and a discussion draft of a trademark-based expedited domain name suspension mechanism, which is intended to address trademark abuse at the second or third level, whereas the first and the second recommendations are intended to address trademark abuse by the registry itself, the top-level domain registry itself. And fourth, we have provided substantive comments to the ICANN's implementation recommendation team's draft and final reports. So more specifically, the trademark-based pre-delegation dispute resolution procedure, the WIPO Center responded in January 2008 to ICANN's request for expressions of interest from potential dispute resolution service providers for a new GTLD program. And since then, we have been working closely with ICANN in the development of the substantive criteria for the legal rights objections procedure. This is in the application phase, taking into account the WIPO joint recommendation that I mentioned earlier. And the WIPO Center has accepted to administer disputes under the legal rights objection procedure as currently envisaged in the ICANN draft applicant's guidebook. The second recommendation, the trademark-based post-delegation dispute resolution procedure, and it is this recommendation that IRT very closely looked at and made specific recommendations in the draft and final IRT report. So from the outset, when WIPO responded to ICANN's request for expressions of interest for dispute resolution providers in ICANN's new GTLD program, which was primarily a request for pre-delegation dispute resolution service providers in the application phase. So from that outset, WIPO has called for a permanent administrative option to allow for filing of complaints, trademark-based complaints, when the registry's actual manner of operation or use alleged to cause or materially contribute to trademark abuse. Because the legal rights objection procedure would be a preventive mechanism. However, we feel that there has to be a continuing, ongoing mechanism to redress actual trademark abuse. And we were pleased to note that ICANN confirmed the availability of trademark-based post-allegation mechanism in the new GTLD program explanatory memorandum on protection of rights of others in new GTLDs of October 2008. And since then, on February of this year, WIPO communicated to ICANN a substantive proposal for a trademark-based post-allegation dispute resolution procedure. This procedure, the post-allegation procedure, is intended as a form of standardized assistance to ICANN's own compliance oversight responsibilities that would provide an alternative to court litigation. So trademark owners would still be able to avail themselves of the existing court litigation and encourage responsible conduct by relevant actors and thus enhance the security and stability of the DNS. I think it would be useful to emphasize that it is not a proposal to shift the burden of compliance, contract compliance from ICANN to trademark owners, but it is more intended as a form for ICANN to outsource that function to experts who have expertise in the field. Just as ICANN is envisaging working with third-party experts during the application phase for the various evaluation and objection procedures involving trademark objections, community objections, etc., we are proposing that ICANN adopt a similar position for post-delegation disputes as well. The criteria that we are proposing build on the pre-delegation legal rights objection criteria and the existing UDRP criteria and accepted principles of law. I would like to re-emphasize here that we're not creating any principles or criteria, but we're using principles that are already existing out there. Especially, I would like to make reference to the WIPO's joint recommendation, which was adopted by all member states of WIPO. So what kind of disputes did we have in mind when we proposed such a trademark-based post-delegation procedure for registries? This procedure, as proposed by WIPO, is intended to address TLD registries whose manner of operation or use of the TLD would cause or materially contribute to trademark abuse through the TLD itself, that through the top-level domain itself, or lower-level registrations. For example, the registry could use the TLD for a purpose unreasonably inconsistent with relevant representations made in the application phase, such that trademarks are infringed. So this procedure is not intended to address all types of inconsistencies, but those inconsistencies that lead to trademark abuse. Another example would be when a top-level domain operator turns a blind eye to systemic, not one cyber-squatting case, but systemic cyber-squatting in its domain, instead of adopting appropriate mechanisms to counter such abuse. As Jeff explained in his presentation earlier this morning on the IRT's recommendation for a post-allegation procedure, that IRT is not recommending that the registry operator actively monitor each and every registration in the TLD. WIPO shares the same view, that we are not recommending the registries to shift through what may be thousands, tens of thousands, or millions of domain name registrations, but instead put into place appropriate, adequate mechanisms to prevent and counter such systemic cyber squatting. So we are not envisaging a trademark owner to file a post-delegation procedure against a registry when it should in fact be using a UDRP, the UDRP process against a domain name registrant. When we made this proposal to ICANN early February of this year, the proposal was made primarily for registries, because we were talking about a post-delegation procedure for registries, but we are now also recommending ICANN to consider adopting an analogous procedure also for registrars. And there are different reasons for such a recommendation. One would be that we are witnessing a convergence of registry, registrar, and registrant roles, and therefore it would be quite important to have procedures put into place for each role, and also because we are observing conducts by registrars, ICANN accredited registrars, that need to be redressed, and we're finding that there isn't an easy process for the aggrieved party, the trademark owner, to seek redress. We are seeing that registrars themselves, in limited circumstances, are involved themselves in cyber squatting activity, and we believe that there should be a procedure to address that. So that's the post-delegation procedure involving TLD registries. On the rights protection mechanisms at the lower level, WIPO communicated to ICANN on April of this year a discussion draft of an expedited domain name suspension mechanism, which may be regarded as akin to the IRT's uniform rapid system, but however with significant differences, including one, WIPO is recommending that in case of a respondent default, that there will be an automatic suspension. And we're recommending that at the same time as recommending that there will be an adequate safeguard to protect registrant rights. For example, a domain name registrant, a good faith, legitimate domain name registrant could be on holiday during the 2-week or 3-week response period and fail to provide a response. And therefore, we're recommending automatic default procedure, but with a process through which such a legitimate registrant can retrieve the domain name thereafter. And we're recommending that because we basically share IRT's view that there should be an expedited system. However, we are quite concerned that having the URS as currently envisaged may not be sufficient to provide such an efficient mechanism, and the more efficient design would be to filter out all the default cases and thereby lowering the cost for all stakeholders. We're talking about those registrants that do not bother to respond. We're not, WIPO has used the ESM acronym, but through this mechanism, the respondent would simply have to tick some boxes and click on the click button. That's all it would need to do to prevent getting into an automatic default. So it's a very, very low low burden on the registrant. And we're seeing that in UDRP cases, some 70 to 75 of our WIPO UDRP cases are default cases. So 75 of these respondents do not bother to respond. And in case of the rapid suspension mechanism, the burden for the respondent to file a response would be extremely low, also in comparison to the UDRP. And furthermore, we're envisaging an adequate safeguard to protect those registrants who, for legitimate reasons, were unable to respond to during that response period. The second major difference with the IRT's recommendation for the rapid suspension mechanism is that WIPO is recommending that the remedy provided through this process be of a more lengthier duration. The RET is recommending that the suspension take place only during the life of the domain name registration itself. WIPO is concerned that that would probably translate into the suspension lasting no more than a few months in most cases, which would translate into trademark owners obtaining recurring sanctions through perpetual engagement in these URS proceedings. And that is not very cost efficient, in our opinion, and therefore we are suggesting that the remedy be for at least a few years. So I basically summarized the components of the WIPO's recommendations. We've also provided comments to the IRT reports, and very briefly, we believe that the system design and all these rights protection mechanisms should minimize burdens on users, not only trademark owners, but on all users and stakeholders, and that implementation should take account of operational realities, and that statement finds its source in our experience in administering 15,000 or so UDRP cases, but also different types of domain name cases and also and conventional arbitration and mediation cases. On the IP clearinghouse, we feel that the ubiquitous role that is envisaged for the clearinghouse calls for adequate safeguards and close ICANN oversight, and that in particular circumstances, differentiation of roles may be appropriate for the clearinghouse rather than granting the different roles that are currently envisaged to one entity. So the entities with expertise may grant specific roles. And we believe that trademark owners should not be the sole entity shouldering the entire burden of financing a clearinghouse, but that burden be shared with all interested parties, including registries and registrars, which would also be receiving significant benefit from any clearinghouse that would be put into place. The uniform rapid suspension mechanism, WIPO's comments I've already mentioned. And for the post-delegation mechanism, here I would just would like to reiterate that the post-delegation mechanism is intended to be a curative mechanism when there is actual trademark abuse. However, with preventive effect, we believe that it just by having a working procedure put into place, that will guide all relevant actors into a more responsible conduct. Even if there aren't any cases filed under the post-delegation procedure, just by establishing such a procedure will have a significant benefit by guiding the registries and registrars to be mindful of their involvement in any trademark abuse occurring in their space. And we're not making this recommendation to supplant ICANN's contract compliance responsibility, but only as a standardized assistance, providing a standardized assistance to ICANN and allowing ICANN to use experts to make decisions that may involve rather technical issues. All the recommendations made by WIPO and the comments that we submitted on the IRT reports are available on ICANN's website as well, by the way, but on WIPO's website at the URL provided.